Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I knew you could make it out of bed today. Thank you, sir. Following on from what Carl shared, there are several copies of this book in the bookstore. And so if you would like a copy and you're fleet of foot, I mean, you get down there, you can purchase a copy. So there are those available. I know that you'll be blessed as she was and as I have been through the book. All right, open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Romans, the first chapter. And when you found that, would you stand to your feet while the stewards are distributing the notes? When you found the book of Romans, it follows the book of Acts, the latter half of the Bible. If you don't have your Bible, we can pray for you and you can get a Bible. We can even pray for you and get a tablet. Wonderful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that we have so many appointments with you. And today is another one, as we've already seen and heard. And we pray, Father, in this appointment, you will continue to do that amazing, awesome, mysterious, profound, and powerful work in each of our hearts. May no one be excluded from the work of your Spirit today. Even as we hear your word, may it become profoundly personal. May we not just assess it as truth, but Lord, may we hear something from you in relation to it. In Jesus' most precious and powerful name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Well, in light of the fact that I shared with you last Sunday, we have been given notice to vacate this building, which means that somewhere in the next few months, we will no longer be meeting here. You'll no longer be sitting in the seat that you are so used to sitting in and you become so comfortable with. You'll be sitting somewhere else. And in our pursuit of the will of God, we understand that we only make real progression if we walk by faith. And so I'd like you to just look with me at Romans 1, verse 17 says, For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a type of righteousness or right standing with God is revealed. And that righteousness, that right standing, that rightness that can only come from God is a righteousness that is by faith. You have to have a faith righteousness. You can't have a good works righteous. I remember one time a woman who came to our services a number of years ago, I was talking to her and she'd been coming 4 or 5 months, and I asked her, I said, do you know Christ as your Savior? She said, no. I said, but are you a Christian? She said, well, yes, I'm a Christian. I said, well, how can you be a Christian and not know Christ as your Savior? Well, she said, I was raised a Christian. I see. So you can be a Christian, but not necessarily be saved. So we had to get into it a little further in our discussion. And it wasn't long until 2 or 3 weeks later, she came to the front at the close of the service and she professed her faith in the atoning work of Christ and was born again. And it was such a day of salvation and joy and liberation for her. And I was speaking to her later, and she said, "You know, I don't understand how I can live so long thinking I was a Christian, only to discover that I was not." And what was missing, and this is my words, what was missing is a spiritual transaction had never taken place. There was a lot of perhaps information and repetition and habit that was going on in her life that all in her mind added up to making her a Christian. But she never had a transaction with God. And until unless you have a transaction with God, you just know about Him. You don't have a profound, dynamic, personal, and powerful relationship with Him. So it says, the righteous, or the just, excuse me, in some translations, the just will live by faith on Tuesdays and Thursdays. On Sundays. On Saturdays. Because see, on Saturday you're not at work. For most of you anyway. No, it says, the just will live. So as long as you're living, as long as you're breathing, God has designed your journey, my journey, be a faith journey, a faith lifestyle, from beginning to end. You lived in another place, and God came into your life and said, "Okay, I got a new way for you to live. A different way for you to live. You've been educated to live a certain way. That's wrong. Turn to your neighbor and say, the way you used to live is wrong." You see, and unfortunately, it takes so much of our journey to discover how wrong our approach to life has been, and often still is. And we'll kind of dig into this. But I want to share with you on this subject of faith. And let us look for a moment at Acts 27, which is a few pages over. Acts 27 and verse 25. This is the story of Paul sailing for Rome. He's on a ship, and he'd had a dream. God spoke to him, and now they're looking like, to some people, they're going to die. Verse 20 says, on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, that means it was dark. If the sun and the stars don't appear for many days, it's dark. And the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. It already says they've taken a violent battering. But skip down to verse 25, because God spoke to Paul in a dream. He heard God's voice. He says, so keep up your courage, men. Well, this is while they're still on the ship. The storm's still going on. He says, for I have faith. Everybody say, for I have faith. Say it again. For I have faith. Now that's a profound principle right there. You need to open your mouth and say your position when the storm is on. Hello? How often have I heard people say, well, I don't know if I have faith, Pastor. I don't know if I have faith for that. Are you dead? That somehow when God came into you, He gave you less than He gave other people? Did He give you defective faith? No, you got to say it. And it's so important to say it aloud, say it verbally. He says, "For I have faith in God that it will happen." There's somebody say, "It will happen." You know, this is such a positive, bold statement of faith. And that's what you do when you're in a storm. If you're going to get out of the storm successfully, you got to act properly inside the storm. Are you with me? If you don't act properly inside the storm, you're liable to sink. "For I have faith in God that it will happen." And now notice the last six words of the text. The last five words. "Just as He told me." It says my faith is based on what Romans 10:17 is. Faith comes by... So God spoke to me that we were going to have this ship problem. We were going to have this storm. But He says, He told me, He spoke to me, we're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. It's going to be okay. He said it. I heard it. He said it. I have faith. He said it. I heard it. I have faith. He said it. I heard it. I have faith. He said it. I heard it. I have faith. He said it. I heard it. I have faith. That's simply the way we're meant to live. So, let's just kind of put in context a little bit of our storm. It may not feel like a storm to you right now, but if I sent you all an email at 10:59 on a Sunday morning and said, "Well, you know, they knocked the building down that we were in last Sunday, meet somewhere." Some of you might be disappointed. I know I would. So, to put this in context, I'd like to give you one right now of the words that has come to us regarding the season or the storm, the circumstance, like Coral referred to. We can't go back. We can't stay in this building. Unless God opens another building, we can't go into that one. You understand where we are? So I'd like you to hear the word of the Lord this morning. One of the words that has come. Let me give a little context before Michael plays it. I was in a meeting in Oregon in the States with some other pastors in the meeting. I was on the platform. A man is prophesying to someone else. He comes to the end of what he has to say to that person. And then all of a sudden, he turns to one of his fellow ministers, myself, and begins to give this word. He doesn't know anything about what he's talking. Go ahead and play.
"And I just feel this for you too, Pastor Rick. I feel like the Spirit of God is saying, it's almost like I see a clock on the wall. And it's been as if, you know, from 12 o'clock
no, that's,
to 6
that's
o'clock.
Not the right spot, Mike.
You know, prior to 12 o'clock, the
maybe you can help him there, Jared. Okay. They're finding that. 254 times in the New Testament, the Bible speaks about the word faith. It uses actually the word faith. 254 times. Faith must be important. And faith comes by how? All right, now I think we've got it.
Right now to the house of God. And along with that, the provisions are coming. And even this building mystery, where this building does not make any sense in this building situation, this mystery, I see God taking the veil off of the building situation. And you're going to see God calls you to walk into something that's going to be good, that's going to be ready. I hear the Lord saying this. It's going to be turnkey ready. I don't know where it is. I don't know what it is. But He says it's going to be turnkey ready. For old man, you are about to embark into a... Where's your wife at? Come here real quickly. We're going to pray. 1 second. Oh man, you're about to embark into a new season. For have I not said in my word to be not weary in well doing, for you will reap in due season if you do not faint. And yea, you have been faithful to walk the walk and talk the talk when it's been popular, when it hasn't been popular. But the Lord says, now it's my time. Yeah. It's my time to shine. Yeah. It's my time to speak. It's my time to thrust you forward. And the Lord has just put you, I see, like a slingshot, where the Lord is using adversities to pull you back further and further and further and further. But now the torque has reached its maximum. And now the Spirit of God is going to sling you out in a new way. Yea, there shall be new favor that shall come upon you on street blocks and neighborhoods and homes.
Okay, he goes on to a number of things there, but what I wanted you to capture from that was, here's a prophet, respected prophet, turning, and he doesn't know any of the circumstances of our situation, and he doesn't know, as it refers to later on in the prophetic word, that I had been searching for quite a long time throughout the entire area for a building. And he said, no longer is it going to be a frustration in your mind. Is it here? Is it there? Is it here? Is it there? And, you know, that God would cause me to have a great rest and peace. And that's what's happened, is that I have a great rest and peace, because just as Paul said here, for the Lord spoke to me. It's going to be fine. We'll have our sheep shed. It'll be turnkey ready. Will it require a miracle or a series of miracles? Absolutely. Unless somebody here is ready to write a check for about $15 million. Anybody here ready for that? If you are, see me after the service. Actually, you can come give it now if you like. But it is, as Coral referred, is that we are, you are, where you are right now in your circumstances, because God wants to show Himself to be God. And so we've been traversing a journey to arrive at the place where we are today so God could take us in a big way to another place. Now, I'm not just talking about a sheep shed, because buildings are buildings. But God wants to do a great miracle in this house. And when a great miracle happens in your house, you're different. Come on now. If you were diagnosed with cancer and somebody lays hands on you in the name of Jesus, cancels the cancer in the power of Jesus' name, and you go back to your doctor, and the doctor says, you know, I don't quite understand this. We have all these x-rays and tests that we've done, your blood, everything. We looked at the pictures. We took a little biopsy, but all of that's irrelevant because you don't have any cancer. When that happens to you, your view of God and what's available to you as a believer changes. Your relationship changes. And all that comes as a result of faith. And so in this season, it's so vital for us to take hold of what is, I believe, our most precious possession, our faith. It is faith that links you with God. So if there's anything that you possess today, the devil wants to get off of you, it isn't your health, though he wants that off of you. It isn't your money, though he wants that off of you. It isn't your relationship, which he wants that off of you. It is your faith. It is your faith. Because he knows you can get anything with faith. Anything. If he can lull you to sleep so that you are not exercising your faith, you're not living a faith lifestyle, you're worried, he knows that his thievery is starting to be effective. And so I have felt led to speak to us all about this subject. As the Bible reveals, 254 times in the New Testament the word faith is used. 256 times in the New Testament, in addition to that, forms of the word believing are used in the New Testament. And that's really the believing is the dynamic operation of faith. I'm not going to break that down for you right now, but over and over throughout the Gospels, Jesus himself spoke of the importance of faith. And his cream of the crop leaders that he selected at the Father's direction and brought to be with him so he could train them how to live and how to do the ministry and how to bring forth the church. These guys, he even rebuked them on the subject of faith. He rebuked them. The book of Acts, as it reveals the unfolding story of the church in the first century, mentions faith many, many times. And I also find interesting that, you know, God used Paul to write most of the New Testament. Most of the New Testament. Did you know that in every first chapter of every epistle that he wrote, he talks about faith? So he's writing a letter to a church, and before he gets to maybe some of the other issues he's going to come to, he says, oh, by the way, the foundation of everything I'm going to tell you comes down to this. I got a lot of stuff to say. But the first thing I need you to know is it all sits on this foundation of faith. Right through to the very end of the book. It's the only lifestyle that God approves of. It's a lifestyle of faith. Now, I just want to read to you something that's in the second page of your notes there. It says, before you had faith, you had nothing. You lived in darkness with no way out. You were as vulnerable and weak as you could possibly be. Your health was subject to change at any moment with some attack. You had no protection. You had no remedy. Your work life was subject to all the oppressions of the Egyptian system that Coral even mentioned today. You were cheated, robbed, and betrayed, and you had no remedy. You were weak in yourself, and you doubted your future, your worth, other people's love for you, and your own ability to succeed. When trouble came, you had only the world's resources to deal with it. If the world had no lasting solution, you suffered through it or died. Trouble, tragedy, and disaster could eat its way into your inner man, and all you could do was cry, complain, hurt, blame, and be angry, even if you only did it inside yourself. You watched the ones you loved suffer as well, with only human words to comfort them. You had no power to change their mourning into dancing. You were powerless, hopeless, weak, defiled beyond cleansing, and sentenced to die while living. Life was trying to make crumbs into substance and make any positive emotion last longer than a few seconds. I'd like for us to put up the first slide. This is where you lived before faith came in your life. It's where you and I lived. Heaven was shut off from us. God existed. Often people who have no relationship with God, who have no faith, pray prayers. They say things out of desperation and hurt and pain, sorrow and despair. Where there's no faith, it's words gone into the air. And they continue to live under the oppression of the things you see here this morning. Subjugated by the conditions of life. And I think it's important for us to grasp this. Because only as you see, this is what my life was like before faith came, do I recognize this is not where I belong. So is there any of this stuff still there? Faith came and changed all of that. Faith came. Romans 10 and verse 17, I like it. It's a simple little phrase. It says, faith comes. Everybody say, faith comes.
Faith comes.
Say it again, faith comes.
Faith comes.
It's not a one-time deal. Faith comes.
Faith comes.
And when faith came, you begin to live for the very first time. Let's put the second slide up. Thank you, Neil. When faith came, you begin to live. How did faith come? Because God spoke. You couldn't hear. Faith comes by hearing. But you couldn't hear unless God spoke. It's this hearing God speak that causes faith to rise in you. So hearing the voice of the Lord is inseparable from faith. You know, sometimes people make the mistake of trying to construct some kind of faith meter. Well, I don't know if I have faith for this or for that. I don't know if I think I might. And I tried to have faith for that, but I didn't have faith for that. And I thought I believed for that, but I got disappointed and that didn't work out, and so on and so forth. And they assess by some mysterious means whether or not they had faith by constructing some kind of way of evaluating how they felt when the circumstances were on. But the Bible makes it nakedly clear. Unless you hear God speaks, your knowledge about the Word of God is just knowledge. It's just knowledge. You see, this is part of our difficulty. Is we all know a lot of the promises of God. And we believe that one of the promises, that all the promises of God are yes and amen. We have a certain amount of biblical knowledge. But having a certain amount of biblical knowledge doesn't mean that the dynamic of faith is operating. There's a fundamental difference between belief and the operation of faith. Can you illustrate that, Pastor? Yes, I certainly can. The most biblically literate people of Jesus' day, they memorized more of the Bible than you know right now. They were profoundly acquainted with all of the prophecies connected to the appearance of the Messiah. But when the Messiah was walking amongst them, they didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize him. So, Francis, stand up, please. It's okay. It's harmless. Turn around and look at these people. Isn't she a lovely lady? Okay. So if I said to you, I want to describe to you a person who often sits on the second row, who doesn't like the air conditioning that much, who has beautiful curly hair. It is curly, isn't it? Wavy. Something like this. And who's a lovely woman who serves as a steward often and graciously slips around here cleaning after the service. And always is so generous and kind and outgoing and welcoming. You'd say, yeah, I don't. That's her. That's her. That's the one. And I didn't give you very much information, but you'd say, that's it. She's the one. But they had amazing descriptions, and Jesus fit them all. He said, no, he's not the Messiah. They had information. They had information, but no faith. Thank God others did. Others did have faith. So, let's come back to this because I want to kind of break this down a little more. I played that prophecy there because I want to freshly inspire your faith about this turnkey building that we're going to have. I could say, well, yeah, I'd like to have that. But it's entirely different when I can say, I heard, that's what Paul said, I heard we're going to be fine, guys. I heard we're going to have a turnkey building. So what does that do? What does that tell us? Life is processed by hearing God speak. And this is so essential. Now, let's just kind of make it wide. We saw all the things on the first slide there that were a part of our life. And Jesus said in John 10:10, I came opposite to the thief. I came to give you an abundant life. An abundant life. And so you see there part of what's described as an abundant life. Deliverance, finances, health, salvation, healing, relationship, promotion, business expansion, all those things come to us as a result of hearing God speak. The initial door came from hearing God speak. There was some point in your journey when you weren't hearing God speak and God came and said, oh, by the way, let me introduce myself. I'm the one who made all this, and I have a son. His name was Jesus. You probably heard about him. Remember when we first started the church, we were renting a school over in Kenton. And we had a caretaker there. He's probably in his early 30s. And he had grown up in this country. One day after at the close of the meeting, I started talking to him. I said, so tell me, I said, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? And he said, who is Jesus? I was shocked. I said, Jesus Christ? You don't know who Jesus Christ is? Now, I'm not too long in the country. I thought, you know, Britain is a Christian country. Everybody knows Jesus. You're laughing. Are you laughing because... No, okay. So I said, Jesus Christ You don't know who Jesus Christ is. He said, I hear people use that name in swearing, but I don't know. I'm thinking, did you ever have RE? You know, there must have been something. I said, you honest, I'm the unbeliever now. You really don't know who Jesus Christ is. He said, no. Who was he? I said, well, he was and he is. And I had an opportunity to explain to him. So, prior to that moment, he didn't even have any information. He had an opportunity to hear God speak to him through me. But his life was zero. Zero. And that's where all of us were. We had nothing until God spoke. But when God spoke to us, this wonderful thing took place on the inside. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing. God speaks. Man doesn't live until the Word of God comes out of God's mouth in some way or another. And you hear it. And when you hear it, faith comes, or at least the opportunity of faith, the choice, the decision of faith. And in that moment where you said, yes, I choose to believe. I choose to believe what's against logic. I choose to believe what no man can explain. I choose to believe it because I just have this sense that this is God. This is God. It doesn't make sense that somebody who lived 2,000 years ago had something happen to him that could make a difference in my life today. That's not a logical thing. It's a spiritual thing. And it happens on the inside here when you hear the voice of God. So, that tells us the voice of God is incredibly precious and powerful. Hearing His voice is precious and powerful. If you don't hear it, you die and go to hell. Because you believe in yourself. You're your own God. One man said to me, he said, I don't believe in God. I said, yes, you do. He said, no, I don't. I said, yes, you do. He said, no, I beg your pardon, I don't. I said, yes, you do. You don't believe in the God maybe that I believe in, but you believe in God. What are you saying? I said, the God you believe in is the one you see in the mirror. That's the one who's in charge of your destiny. From your point of view. So when you don't hear God, as Paul said in Romans, how will they believe if they don't hear? And how will they hear if we don't go? So hearing from God is so vital. Because that's how faith comes. If there's no faith, what happens? You just process forward until events take over. And if the devil's involved, he beats you to smithereens. Now, why are you taking the time, Pastor, to kind of dig into this? Because I believe that God wants us to make us such a people of faith that we're not just coming to our situations when they're huge and endeavoring to believe God. And that's often what happens. People shoot through life living on the basis of their mind and their energy and their will until they get into something that requires a miracle. Then they think, oh, where's my Bible? Where's my Bible? I got to get the... Hey, you know, you and me, we're friends. We got to get something here. You know, this guy, I got this the report I got. We got to get some. And we come into a holy panic. Well, yes. God said, I've been here all along. I got this. I'm ready to speak all the time. All the time. And I've listened with tears in my eyes and watched the tears in other people's eyes. Too often. Too often. Because the miracle they so desperately wanted didn't happen. Didn't happen. And I believe that God's trying to train us to live in a culture, an atmosphere, a mentality of faith all the time, every day. So what does that mean? That we go around confessing? Well, that's part of it. But more important than confessing, because you can have a lot of confession with no faith. Yes, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "There I believe, therefore I have spoken." But believing comes based upon His speaking. His speaking. So He speaks. You believe what He says, and you say what He says. He speaks, you believe what He says, and then you speak. You speak what He says. That's what we see here with Saul, Paul. He said, "I heard from heaven. God spoke to me, said, 'Hey guys, we're going to be fine.' I'm telling you, we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. We're going to be absolutely fine." Now, if you were in the boat that day, you could have looked at Paul and you said, "Oh yeah, one of these guys. He's one of these eccentric, eternal optimists who is afraid to acknowledge the potential of loss or damage. And so he just says all these kind of foolish things so he can bolster his own courage." No. He was not into self-persuasion. He was into hearing from heaven. Did you get that? Hearing from heaven. The just shall live by faith. Let's put it another way. The just will live by hearing. The just will live by hearing. When I've not heard, I've suffered. When I've not heard, I've suffered. But when I have heard, whoa! That's great! Because there have been some wonderful moments in my life where I desperately needed a miracle. But what I was desperate to hear more, to have more, was hearing Him. So as you sit here today, let's just kind of chop off yesterday. Come on now. Let's chop off yesterday. I know what that's like. Because the voice of history sometimes shouts really loud. Especially where it involves past failure and past disappointment and past effort. But all of that is arrayed against the voice of the Lord. And I told you one of my stories where I suffered in pain in my body for 17 years. So I know about the voice of history. I know about the voice of disappointment. But let me tell you, that's not where I am today. Because there came a day when it didn't matter yesterday and last week and last month and last year and 5 years ago and 10 years ago, I heard God's voice. And when I heard God's voice, I said, "Yes." What happened? It not only produced joy, but that wonderful thing called faith rose inside of me. And I said, "Yeah, I'm having it. And it's mine. And I don't have that problem, that condition anymore today because I heard from heaven." That's why I said, let's chop off yesterday. The The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Grace is fresh every day. God says, there's an opportunity for you. As he said to me, Rick, you only ever have one option, that's to believe. Another way of saying it is, Rick, you only ever have one option, that's to hear, because I know if you hear, you will believe. And I know that's the way I made you. I know you want to please me. I know you want to exceed and excel and receive miracles. So if you hear me, I put in your notes there all the other voices. Because the first step to exercising faith, of course, is hearing. You changed spiritual address when you heard the voice of the Lord and received Christ as your Savior. God says, I'm putting you in a new house. And by the way, there's a whole new culture in this house. New rules, new protocols, new approaches, new perspectives. Everything is new here. You're going to be just a new creation. And so you're living in the old world, but you're going to live in a new way. You're living with all the stuff from there, but you're going to have a totally new approach to it. And I want to educate you how to live in the old world in a new way. It's a different mentality. You can see it there on page 3, all the different voices. You can reference those yourself, and I'm sure you have many times. You can live life hearing the voice of logic and reason and good old common sense, whatever that is. I'm not sure there is such a thing anymore as common sense. There is certain common idiocy. Logic, reason, and good old common sense, emotion, passion, feelings, desperation, panic, and fear. Sometimes I hear people hear, they get some really bad news. And they jump into what I call kind of the panic station. And they say things like, well, you know, we got to pray really hard. We got to get 10,000 people fasting. Why am I bringing it up? Did you see that in Jesus? He says, Father, this guy's got leprosy. He just said, be clean. Be clean. The voice of science and education. Obviously, there's a place for science and education in our world. But science and education are not the operational power of your life. You'll hear that voice because it's certainly informing everything in our culture now. This world system, the opinions of others, and Brother Google, no, Google. It's hard to say brother, but you can get a lot of death off of Google. Our history and our past experience, pain, symptoms, worry, all those things speak in, of course, the devil. So, let's take the first step. The first step in believing God when things happen is being aggressive. Everybody say aggressive. You see, you're going to do one of the two A's. Write this down somewhere. You're either going to get aggressive or you're going to accommodate. Hello. And all of us are guilty of accommodation. You're going to get aggressive or you're going to accommodate. You're going to reject the symptoms and the things that you hear with natural hearing as the final conclusion of your condition or your life. You see, in Timothy, or rather in Titus, chapter 3, I believe it's verse 5, he wrote this. He says that God teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Ungodliness is anything that is not right. He says it teaches us to say no to ungodliness. The Spirit of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness. It doesn't teach us to think no. Listen to me now, because you're going to get some practice here in a moment. He teaches us to say, to speak. Our life began with somebody else speaking. And He says, I made you to be like me, so you're going to have to do some speaking to have your life. So He says, teaching us to say no to ungodliness. Anything that's wrong, that doesn't belong, that isn't right about your situation, your life, God says, I want you to say, no, not just think it. Say it. Because if you don't say no, well, no matter what kind of ungodliness you're talking about it, you start accommodating. Come on. So let's make it personal. Is there anything in your life, in your health, your family, your finance, your business, your work life, your ministry, that doesn't belong there? Anything. In a moment, we're going to rise up, we're going to stand to our feet, and we're going to say something that stuff needs to hear. Maybe the first time. You know, sometimes something happens in your body. You have some pain. Your initial response is either going to be aggressive or accommodating. Is this the first step? It's going to be aggressive or accommodating. So you get a pain, and you think, oh, because pain speaks, doesn't it? Pain speaks. And, you know, what happens is it begins to have a chorus. And sometimes it's tenor.
Sometimes it's bass.
But the other voices come in and they say, you know, you had a friend that had that same pain and he only has one leg now. Now you're laughing. And you're laughing because you know what I'm saying. And then what happens is one of your good friends says, you know, you need to have that checked out. That could be really, really serious. You could lose your leg. And it's maybe a sign of your diabetes. Maybe it's your blood. Now, I'm not going to give you all the caveats today. You've heard me on those subjects before. I'm not against doctors and medicine. What I'm telling you is that the just shall live by the just shall live by NHS. Doesn't say the just shall live by NHS, does it? Come on now. It doesn't say the just shall live by boots. So when you get the initial, you want to recognize what's going on here. Because everything that's wrong in my world and your world came from one source. And that was the one that was kicked out of heaven because God says, it doesn't belong where I live. It doesn't belong where I live. And if I'm going to live in you, it doesn't belong in you. Hebrews says that Jesus was indwelt by the power of an indestructible life. Is that a different Jesus that's in you and me? And so, when the symptom comes, don't give it time to develop a chorus. The Bible says we gotta learn to say no. We gotta learn to say no. No. To everything that doesn't belong in our world. And that's why I appreciated Regina's testimony last Sunday. If you were here last Sunday, she came and gave an awesome testimony. Because there was something inside her that says, no, that's not right. The woman had had 2 miscarriages and the doctor said, that couldn't happen. Because of this and this condition and that condition. And the science says, that's not going to happen. But something inside of her says, no! That's where you got to start with. No! Mm-hmm. Otherwise, how are you? I'm wonderful. I don't look it. I'm a tongue-talking, spirit-filled believer. I'm just kind of going through it. You see, this is a war. It's a war. It's a war for my health and my finance and my marriage and my children and my grandchildren and my job. It's a war. And one of the weapons that He gave us is to rise up when we see the attack of the enemy, and we don't just lie down and say, oh God, God, I don't know why this happened to me. Oh God, I'm so victorious, but I just don't know how to be it. Oh God, it's lovely to walk with You. You're so powerful and I'm so not. That's not the stance of a warrior. The stance of the warrior is what you heard come out of David's mouth. He said, You come to me with pain in my knee or my backside or my this or that. You come to me. But I come to You. What was he really saying to Goliath? No. There's no oppression coming to this nation, to these covenant believers. I'm saying no. I'm starting off by saying no. And before we're done, you're going to find out what no means. So I want you to stand to your feet. We all have some of the short-term and some of the long-term battles. Are you with me? I want to help some of you. Somebody here today. I want to help you right now. Because I just got instruction to help you on this matter. When I was 19, God spoke to me something that seemed so strange. And He told me something about my role in my natural earthly family. And He said, you're going to do this and this and this and this and this. And that's going to happen. You're going to be like Joseph. And you know what I did? I was 19. I wasn't as smart as you. I tried to make it all happen. So I went to all my brothers and sisters and I told them the truth. And I got just what Joseph did. Pastor, you are stupid. But I nursed my wounds. But I didn't lay aside the word God spoke to me. And I want to tell you, I just went on holiday. While I was on holiday, I had a chance to spend time with my family, my wider family. And I want to tell you, the word of the Lord is coming to pass. I saw and heard things. I saw movement and change and reconciliation and stuff going on. It was just like hearing the Holy Spirit say, "Look, I told you so." I didn't let go. I continued to intercede for them. Let me tell you, my heart's full of joy today. Because I looked at, like you, maybe some stuff with your family. It looks, it's in that drawer of human impossibility. But you look at that and say, "No, that's not the final story." Because I heard from heaven. I heard from heaven. I heard from heaven. And so what I'd like us to do today, as God makes us such a powerful people of faith, the people that we are, to possess faith that produces the miraculous, I want us to take our first step today in this particular part of your journey. I want you to wrap up everything that doesn't belong. Wrap up everything that doesn't belong. I'm putting myself in this. I'm wrapping up everything that doesn't belong. Jesus' blood was not shed so I could suffer needlessly. So I want you to wrap up everything that doesn't belong. Whether it's in your body or your family or your finance or your business or your ministry, your work life, whatever it is, wrap it all up. Say, "Okay, I'm going to take my first step. I'm going to move from accommodating. I'm going to move from accommodating to the aggression of faith." So close your eyes right now. Father, right now, we are hearing from heaven. We're hearing, Lord, today from you, that you don't want us suffering any longer with the stuff we have unwittingly accommodated, accepted, acquiesced to, looked for a human solution for. Today, Lord, we take it all, including the voices of yesterday and all the disappointments. We collect it all right now. And we're going to speak to it. We know that heaven's going to record that we're a people on the move. Not just geographically, but we're on the move spiritually to where the stuff that doesn't belong, that's not our inheritance, we're not going to accommodate. We're not going to live where you never intended us to live. We're going to say no. Because you've taught us to say no to everything that isn't right for us, according to your word. We're going to say no to it. We're going to say no to it today. And every day we're going to hear you, your voice. It's going to bring to us a fresh word. And our faith is going to cause us to be what your word declares, victorious. Victorious. Now, we're going to shout aloud 3 times, no. And you're not just shouting. You're shouting at stuff. Are you with me? You're shouting at stuff that no longer has a right in your life. Okay? Three times. No! 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 Okay. Be seated for a moment. You see, what you just did puts you in a position now to hear from heaven. I can't be double-minded. I can't accommodate and hear from God something opposite. I've got to say no to that so I can open my ear and say, yeah, what's your word? But okay, I got it. I got it. I got it. Now, we started this session with my telling you about the building. And we're going to take some evidence of our faith. You don't need any faith to know that the owner says, we're knocking this building down. You got to go. And for me, that was good news. When I was talking with him, I was wanting him to say, okay, you have to be out by X. That's what I was wanting. You say, Pastor, have you lost your mind? You see, I've already exhausted all my own abilities. I've been the stupid one for long enough. God says he doesn't delight in the legs of man. So I was, okay, I know God is a miracle. I just kind of like to, you know, when you say X, then God will get on with it. So, I'm telling you something I told you last Sunday. We're leaving here. And you know what we're going to do next Sunday? Next Sunday we're going to have a leaving celebration. Hello. So, after the morning service, we're going to eat here, and we're going to have a celebration service. It's going to be unlike any celebration of leaving you've ever had. But we're going to have food, because that's part of feasting and celebrating and dancing. So next Sunday, we're having a leaving celebration. Yeah, but Pastor, it's kind of a nice building, you know? It's just a shed. We have a leaving celebration. Then guess what? The following Sunday, we're going to have a receiving celebration. So the next two Sundays, we're going to eat after the service, and we're going to have two different services. After the service, I'll continue to teach about faith. We're going to have a leaving celebration after, and then the following Sunday, we're going to have a receiving. I don't get it. What's Mark 11, 23, 24? It says, if you believe you have received. Believe you have received. Believe you have received. Believe you have received. So we have a building and we can't maybe see it with our eyes yet, but we have it. Yes. We have it. This is part of our faith journey. We have it. So we're going to have a receiving celebration on that Sunday. So we'll bring your best. Bring your best, because we're going to have an awesome time of leaving and receiving. Because you know that's what Israel did. They had a leaving celebration and they had a receiving celebration. More on that next Sunday. Stand to your feet. Father, I thank you today that as we stand in your presence, you did not create us flawed as a new creation. But Lord, we've just been learning how to live. And we pray, Father, that this week, even as some of us heard this last week, We will continue to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit because we know that when we hear, faith comes. When you speak, faith comes. And when faith comes, miracles happen. When faith comes, miracles happen. Thank you, Lord, that this week we will hear, faith will come, doors will open, bodies will be healed, reconciliations will take place, wonderful, amazing things that are what you intended all along. We praise you, Lord, that we're leaving here and we got a new place. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. Hug 9 people and you can go.